Daniel 2, verse 36. Bible says, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Okay? So the Bible says that it's starting to with a description here of the dream. And let's pray, and then we'll go look at the dream real quick, and then we're going to go back to chapter 3. But I want you to keep that in mind. Thou art this head of gold. All right? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, thank you for the safety that you give us here this morning. Lord, I do want to thank you for keeping the able safe, and Lord, just protecting them. And Lord, thank you for their family. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, thank you for their kids. Lord, I love them and appreciate them. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bind the devil, and the Lord, that your spirit would have free reign in our hearts and in the hearts of those that will be coming and that are here. And Father, I pray that you guide my words. Help me to just be a help and a blessing to the folks in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see that thou art this head of gold. So he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, all right? So let's go back to verse number 31. Now, Daniel's going to describe what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. So in verse 31, the Bible says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image." Now, it doesn't tell us what this image is, okay? It just says a great image, all right? So this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold. And that's what we just read in verse 38, that Nebuchadnezzar was. "His breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now this is a prophecy of what is to come, and probably next week I think we'll get into that a little bit. This is talking about the kingdoms that are going to come. It's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the Grecian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, and then finally, if you even go down to, they talk about the 10 toes, okay? It was 10 different kings that came, and they ruled, all right? And so we'll get into that maybe hopefully next week. But there was an interesting thought. If you go to chapter number 3, all right? After Daniel told the king Nebuchadnezzar his dream, we go to chapter 3, and Daniel, or King Nebuchadnezzar, after Daniel had told him his dream, King Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel. He's like, "All right, you did this. I'm going to promote you, and I'm going to put you in a place of prestige." And he would, and Nebuchadnezzar, let's just look at it, all right? Verse 47. Nebuchadnezzar recognizes God in verse number 47 of chapter 2. "The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." Now it's interesting, he said he's the God of gods. Okay, so in Nebuchadnezzar's mind, there's still this array of gods, but God is probably the predominant God here. Okay, that's what's going on in Nebuchadnezzar's mind. But in chapter number 3, something interesting happens, and it's something that we all fight, and it's pride. Okay, that's the product, that's the root behind this. But in chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon." And then I'm not really going to read the rest of the story. You know the story about how the king set this up and he was going to command when the music started playing, everybody was supposed to bow down to this, okay? And we all pull, you know, there's a lot of different lessons out of that, and we'll look at some of those later. But Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now that was in that to me that kind of caught my attention. That was interesting. Now maybe I'm pulling this way out of where it should be, okay? But if you go back to what was the image that he saw in his dream, it was composed of several different components, wasn't it? The head was gold, and in verse 38 we saw that Nebuchadnezzar said, or Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, "That's you. You're the head of gold." Okay? And then it was silver, and then it was brass, and then it was iron, and then it was iron mixed with clay. Okay? And we see that going down. Okay? And it went, and so I was thinking, why? Because the Bible doesn't really say. I always assumed that the image that Nebuchadnezzar made was an image of himself. Okay? Now, I don't know that for sure. I don't really see that. The Bible just said he made an image. Okay? Now, I always thought it was just probably, you know, an image of himself that was standing there. All right? This image of gold. But what I thought was interesting is Nebuchadnezzar here, I wonder if he was thinking back to his dream and he was saying, yeah, this is what God said, because, you know, the gold head didn't last forever, did it? Okay? And the gold head changed to a silver, and the silver changed to, and if we read the interpretation, that's what Daniel was telling him. He said, you're the head of gold, but there's going to come another kingdom under you that's going to take your place, and then another kingdom, which is a kingdom of brass, and another kingdom, which is a kingdom of iron. So your place is going to be taken on this earth. You, at one point, your kingdom will be defeated. And I got to thinking, I was like, wonder why Nebuchadnezzar built this image of gold, okay? And here's my thought behind it. I wonder if he thought, no, I'm going to make a whole, not just the head of gold. Wonder if this image that Nebuchadnezzar made, and it may not have been, but this image that Nebuchadnezzar made was maybe the same image that he saw in his dream. But he decided that, well, God said this is going to happen, and my kingdom won't last forever. Well, I'm going to make a whole image of gold, and I'm just going to prove that my kingdom will last forever. Because this was a step of pride. Whether it was an image of himself or the image he saw in his dream, maybe they were one and the same. I don't know. They could have been one and the same. Maybe that's why he was so terrified of it, because he saw himself in all these different pieces. I don't know. Okay? But Jeremiah. Wow, where'd Jeremiah come from? Nebuchadnezzar, he decided that I'm going to change God's will. I'm going to change God's will. I'm going to make something. Yeah, there was this image, but I'm going to make this image that is all gold. So not only am I going to be the head, but I'm going to be the arms and the breast, and I'm going to be the torso, and I'm going to be the legs, and I'm going to be the feet. This is my kingdom. This kingdom doesn't belong to the Persians. This kingdom doesn't belong to them. This kingdom won't belong to the Romans. This kingdom is my kingdom. I am the image of gold, the whole image. And you can say whatever you want, God, but this is the way this is going to be. Okay? Now, I want to talk to you this morning about this thought. Changing the unchangeable God. Changing the unchangeable God. That's basically what Nebuchadnezzar, I think in a way, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to impose his will on God. Now, you know what I'm thankful for as I was kind of thinking about this? I am thankful that I serve a God that doesn't change. I'm thankful that the God of my dad is my God. I'm thankful that the God of, you know, John the Baptist is my God. The same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I understand that they're Jews, okay? But that's my God too. And God's the same, and God's principles, let me say this, God's principles don't change. God's principles are the same. You do you sin, and there's a consequence. For the wages of sin is death. It's not for the wages of sin might be death if it's worthy of it. No, it's for the wages of sin is death. And there are consequences for our sin. You know what the Bible says? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We'll go over in a couple chapters, and we see that in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. He says, well, look who I am. Look what I have done. And God says, well, let me show you how big you really are. And he acted like an animal. And he ate grass and his fingers grew out and his hair was like the feathers of an eagle. Okay? God said, I'll show you how big you really are. All right? So I'm glad I serve an unchangeable God. And you know what? If we go about this wrong, we're going to be like Nebuchadnezzar here. And Nebuchadnezzar built this huge image and says, I'm going to make this different. I'm going to change the will of God here. And God says, no, you're not. No, you're not. I got three boys out there that's going to defy you. And you're not going to change them. I'm just going to show you, you're not as big and as tough as what you think you are. Okay? I'm glad we serve an unchangeable God. Let's go to Malachi chapter number 3. Should be fairly close there. Right before, last book of the New Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. Bible, in verse number 6, the Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, I am thankful for that the mercy of God doesn't change. That's basically what he's saying here. You know, the reason that you're still alive, sons of Jacob, is because my mercy, you know, it's interesting. You go to the book of Exodus and look at how many times the children of Israel made God mad. And there was all, Pastor says, I'm glad that Moses and God never were mad at the Israelites on the same day, because there would be no Israelites left. You know, when Moses was mad at the Israelites, God said, no, just give them some time. And then when God was mad at the Israelites, Moses said, God, just give them some time, you know. But God's mercy doesn't change. God's mercy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The grace of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know something else that doesn't change, and I mentioned it, is the consequences of sin don't change. God's judgment, God doesn't say, okay, this is the penalty for this today, this is the penalty for this tomorrow, you know. Listen, God's got mercy and God has grace, but there is penalties for sin. Okay? Now, what I'm talking about this morning is changing the unchangeable God. Well, Brother Chad, if God never changes, can you change God? If God never changes, could Nebuchadnezzar change what was about to happen by just building a different image? That's what he was trying to do, I think. I think he was trying to show that his kingdom would last forever. Okay, and he was trying to change. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, let's look at verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 10. Bible says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Isn't that interesting? God's, you know, it's talking about everything's going to pass away. The heavens are going to pass away. The earth's going to pass away. But you're still there. You're still there. Things change like people change their clothes. That's how fast things change. The seasons. I mean, it just seems like yesterday that it was springtime and I was waiting for the leaves to finally come out. I'm like, man, everything's so dead. That just seems like a few days ago. And now I can't keep ahead of my yard. You know what I mean? And so fast things change. But God's the same. You know, God looks down and I get frustrated and we get frustrated about the things of life and the drama of life and everything that goes on. And God says, everything's the same with me anyway. It's nice to know that my problems in life don't bother God. My problems in life, God just looks at and says, oh, that's okay. I got this under control. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. But I want to talk to you. Brother Chad, you just said God doesn't change. That's right. God doesn't change. But you know what God has given to us as Christians? God has given to us as Christians the power to change an unchangeable God. That's huge. That is huge. You know, God listens to you, and God listens to me. And if we'll come to God with the right attitude and the right spirit, with the right request, we can change an unchangeable God. You know, there's times you go through, you'll see somebody going through something, and maybe it is some of the judgment of God. But you know, God has given us, God has given you, God has given me the power to change what God is about to do in the life of somebody. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar would have gone and done this in the right way. Yeah, maybe. Obviously, his kingdom is not going to last forever, because no kingdom does last forever. The only kingdom that's going to last forever is the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. That is the kingdom that will last forever. The Bible talks about in Daniel chapter, where we were just talking about, remember the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands? You know who that's talking about? The rock of my salvation. That's who that's talking about. And that rock's going to come, and it's going to crush everything. And then it's interesting, the Bible says, and it became a mountain that filled the whole earth. Okay? You know, you can change a lot of things, but you don't change mountains. All right? And anyway, 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. I like this story, and this is what I'm talking about changing an unchangeable God. 2 Kings chapter 20, look at verse number 1. Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wow. Thank you, man of God. All right? Here's the prognosis, Hezekiah. You're about to die. Get everything in order. You're going to die, and you're not going to live any longer. Wow. Okay. So that came from God, who is an unchangeable God. Okay? Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, this is talking about Hezekiah, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Okay? There's a humility here. Listen, God does not honor pride in any way, shape, or form. I fight that. I fight pride, and I think probably all of us do. I fight pride. And, you know, God doesn't want us to come in pride. God wants us to come in humility and with a broken heart. Anyway, sorry, I had a verse going through my mind. I won't do that one now. And it came to pass, verse number 4, and it came to pass after Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so Isaiah's leaving, so Hezekiah is praying right now. Isaiah delivered his message, and Isaiah's leaving. He's in the middle court. Verse 5, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. You know what God just did here? God changed his mind. God changed his mind. God said, Hezekiah, you're about to die. You're going to die. Get everything set in order. Write your will. You're dying. You're going to be dead. And Hezekiah said, God, I don't want to die. Please remember me. And Hezekiah didn't even get out of the castle, out of the palace. And God came and said, hey, Isaiah, I changed my mind. Go back and tell Hezekiah I'm going to give him 15 more years. You know what? Isn't that neat? That one man in the right spirit, in the right attitude, can change the mind of God. You know, sometimes we think when life is hopeless and when life is despairing and there is you see no road out, or whatever it might, a family situation or a health situation, that God, you say, the doctors say that there is no hope. Well, when the doctors say there's somebody that can give you hope, okay? And you can change the mind of God. I can change the mind of God. That is something huge. The Bible says we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly. All right? Now, will we always change the mind of God? Not necessarily. God's ways are so far above ours, we can't even attempt to understand them. God has a purpose in things that we don't understand. But there are times that you can go to God and you can say, God, can you change this? This is going to be the outcome of this, but Lord, can you change it? This is where my life is headed right now, Lord, and it's not looking good, but can you change it? And God can change that, all right? God can change that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Another story. We could go to a lot of different stories. This one's pretty well known. So Abraham's sitting outside his tent, and he sees some guys coming up, some men approaching. And Abraham has enough discernment to know that these are men of God, all right? And so he goes and he makes a meal and he gets everything ready. And the two men get ready to leave. Verse number 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, this always kind of cracks me up. I don't know if God was talking to himself here or what was going on. But the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. You see here again, the attitude which he comes to God in. It's not an attitude of pride. It's not an attitude of arrogance. He says, I'm but dust and ashes. Lord, I don't deserve this. But I'm going to ask you, God, if there's 50 people, would you change your mind? Would you change your mind? And I think Abraham knew there wasn't 50. He was just, you know, it's like how you guys, when you barter for something, trying to buy something, you know, you got to start someplace, okay? Prayer adventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. He said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30. All right? Peradventure there shall be 20. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. You know what Abraham's trying to do here? Abraham's trying to change the mind of God. And he did. He did change the mind of God. But Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt with fire and brimstone. That's because there wasn't 10. If there would have been 10, Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. A man that's trying to change the mind of an unchangeable God. You know, there's a penalty for sin. You know, every one of you, myself included, at some point in your life, if you're saved, you've changed the mind of an unchangeable God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That is an unchangeable fact, that the wages of sin is death. But when I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart and save me, I changed the mind of an unchangeable God. He said, well, I changed my mind on this one. He's just accepted my son as his savior. He's not, put him over here. He's not going to hell. You know, and I know this is Sunday school, Sunday morning, but if you've never done that, you can. You can change the mind of an unchangeable God. But if you don't pray, and if you don't come to God in that humility, and you don't come to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and that's part of being saved, is your recognition of your position. My recognition. If somebody doesn't know that, if you don't think that you need to go to God in a humble way, then I'm sorry, but you're just like Nebuchadnezzar. You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? I'm going to build this image. I'm going to build this image so my kingdom will last forever. And a lot of people, they want to do with their hands some things to get them eternal life. And God says, no, that's not the way to do it. You come to me on your knees. You come to me with a broken spirit and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me of my sin? And you can change the mind of an unchangeable God. But you know, those that don't come to God in that way, you will not change the path that you're going on. And that's to hell. I'm just being blunt. Everybody that does not ask Jesus Christ in their heart to save them will go to hell. That is an unchangeable fact of life. Remember the rich man in hell? He said, Abraham told the rich man, he said, there's a great gulf fixed, and I can't change that. I can't come to you, and you can't come to me. You've made your choice, and we have an unchangeable God. All right? Now, that's good and that's bad. I want to encourage you this morning, and we'll be done. I got junior church to do after this. But I want to encourage you this morning. You can change the mind of God. Brother Chad, there's maybe a wayward child. Or Brother Chad, there's problems in life. And this, because of a decision that was made, this is the consequence. And you know, God does keep his promises, both to the good and to the evil. But you can be like an Abraham. You can say, God, would you change your mind on this? There's a man named Jehoshaphat. I was listening to the Bible in my truck. I listen to it quite a bit in my truck when I'm driving. A man named Jehoshaphat. In fact, I had to skip back a couple chapters to re-listen to it. A king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And he went with King Ahab. And he wasn't supposed to go to battle with King Ahab. And he made a wrong decision. And the king of Syria said, whenever you see the king of Israel, I want you to kill the king of Israel. Well, Ahab, he basically set Jehoshaphat up. Ahab said, I'm going to disguise myself, but you go in looking like a king to battle. He basically set him up. And so when all the soldiers saw Jehoshaphat come in and he looked like a king, they said, oh, there's the king of Israel. Let's go kill him. And they surrounded him. You know what Jehoshaphat did? He cried out to the Lord. And you know what all the soldiers did? They perceived that he was not the king of Israel. And they left off following him. But remember what Pastor talked about Wednesday night? About the promise that the dogs would lick the blood of Ahab. That was the same battle that an archer. Remember what I said. God, we serve an unchangeable God, but you have the power to change an unchangeable God. You know the unchangeable God in this story was the God that Ahab chose to disobey. And the changeable God, which is the same God, was the God that Jehoshaphat cried out to and said, God, please save me. An archer drew his bow at a venture, which that happened a lot. Archery back there was not necessary. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't good archers, but it was a quantity more than quality, if you know what I mean. I mean, they just flung arrows. Archer drew his bow at a venture, shot an arrow and hit Ahab. Ahab bled out in his chariot. An unchangeable God. For the wages of sin is death. You can't get past the consequences of sin unless you come to God in the right spirit and the right way. And you know, God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of judgment, or of grace, and a God of judgment. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. That is why the sons of Jacob are not consumed. All right? Go to God. Brother Chad, I got problems. I've got family members that have problems. This is where they're headed. This is the consequence. It is a consequence. But I'm so thankful that if you go to God in the right way, Hezekiah got 15 years on his life. Jehoshaphat's life was spared. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah could have been spared if there was 10. At least Lot and his two daughters made it out. You have the power to change the mind of an unchangeable God. But don't do it like Nebuchadnezzar. That was a foolish thing to do. And he changed nothing except spend a lot of money on a golden image. He changed nothing. And God had to humble him later. All right? Changing the mind of an unchangeable God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you can help the services to follow. Lord, I pray that your power would be strong. Lord, I pray once again that you just bind the devil and help us to have a good spirit here this morning. Help pastor as he preaches. Just fill him with your power, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the junior churches and the nursery, just every ministry that's involved. And thank you for those that are so faithful and come every day and just serve you and honor you. Lord, I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.